This morning's scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 40. And we will do that responsively. But first, let us pray. Father in heaven, as we read and study these examples of faith, may our personal faith be strengthened as we are daily challenged here on earth. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. And so, from this one man, and he was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and as countless as sand in the seashore. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around seven days. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they have been made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Next slide. All right, so Tom and Steve come to me 2 weeks ago and said, why don't you do the sermon? Notice who's not here today. Do they have a leap of faith? Definitely they're making a leap of faith, leaving you in my hands, right? I'm wearing my RFC outfit because I feel comfortable this way. There's not a race car outside. There's no noise outside. Okay? That's what I'm used to. When I'm trying to preach over a race car. Earlier, Lori says to me, speak up. Believe me, I speak up at an RFC church meeting. All right? But it's not the same. Okay? Preaching to you, my fellow Christians and believers, here at my home is not the same as what I do out at the racetrack. So I do give Tom and Steve a little credit in pushing me to a new challenge for me to preach to you. Because I respect every one of you very much. Because you have as much or more biblical background than I do. I'd like to start with making a statement, which is a quote, okay, that I'm going to repeat later that I really want to get the point across about this faith. You read a lot, That was a lot. I challenged you just reading today. Thank you, Jim. I'm glad it was responsively, because that would have been tough. So here's the statement I want to share with you. It is where we place our faith that determines our purpose, leads our desires, defines our motives, and encourages our actions. I'm going to see if this thing works. Oop, wrong way. So just like Tom, I did a little outline so we can kind of follow me, because I might go astray as we go here. So there's 5 points to my outline. First, I'm going to define faith. I have a couple of quotes which are split up a little bit on either side of my testimony, which is the third part of the outline. And there's many scriptures, as we just read. I'm not going to sit down and explain every one of them, because I would be here till, you know, next Sunday. And at the end, there's a challenge for all of us. Okay? God challenges us many ways, and through our lives, we just heard a couple of challenges in some of our prayer, in some of our songs, we just heard challenge in the hymns. So let me define faith from the Webster's Dictionary. It is a complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Real short, sweet. Is it simple? Not in a Christian manner. It's not far from simple. So, let's see if I can head the right direction here. So, here's an image for you. And I want to share a quote from Martin Luther King about this image. Faith is taking the first step even though you don't see the whole staircase. I see a staircase. Do you see a staircase? Where's the staircase going? I mean, the famous song kind of goes with this, but we won't listen to that now. But that staircase is going to heaven, and what's the end? We hope. We don't know. We know it's going to be that God's going to lift us up one day and be with him. But we need to have faith in that. So I'm going to do a little bit of testimony here about my life and what my faith is and how my faith worked in me. When I talk about my testimony, I want you to think about your life and similar situations that you have gone through and how faith worked. Okay. Number one, I went to college at age 18, right out of high school. 250 miles from home, went to a strange place, upstate New York, never been there before, okay? Went into a big college with 3,000 people on campus from many different cultures. So I came from rural northern New Jersey. You think of New Jersey as, ooh, that's all city. No, not from where I was. It was very rural. I went to a Presbyterian church just like this one, and it was primarily white, okay? So we had our own little, how should I say, community that was kind of blocked from the rest of the world. And I went to college, and wow, whew, I walked in there and got in my dorm room, and the dorm room, which was 12 by 15, and three people in there, a little tight. My one roommate came from Poughkeepsie, New York. He walked in with red Jordache jeans on and an earring. That was 1980. If we go back in time, you'll find that that was not normal, and I was like, oh boy. So, was I afraid? Yeah, I was. Very afraid. Okay? Fear of the unknown, and I was a shy person at the time. Not like today, as you can tell. And I also, prior to that, I had to give a Memorial Day speech when I became an Eagle Scout for the town of Branchville, which I grew up in. Talk about fear. That was a big one. That was prior to going to college. Okay? I was supposed to be the secondary speaker, but the primary speaker a week before bowed out and made me the primary speaker. Oh, go from your 2-minute speech to a 10-minute speech. Boy, was there a lot of praying going on. Yeah. But going back to my college years, when I got through that, God rewarded me. He gave me new friends at college, and he gave me a good education that has served me very, very well. Number two point from my testimony is marriage. All of you, or most of you in the room here, are married or have been, okay? God gave me the faith to find the person whom I'll spend my life with. Was there fear in that? Yeah. My generation, and maybe the generation before me, it's common that we split up because we make too much of a quick decision when they get married. But in my case, my reward has been 34 years of marriage, yet 4 years of dating before the marriage. So hopefully another 34 years. Number three, buying a home for the first time. Raise a hand, how many people bought a home? Everybody, right? Yeah, so maybe the younger ones may be renting right now, but hopefully they'll be able to buy. Is there fear in buying a home? Yeah. My fear was buy the home, not be able to make ends meet and have to fall back on parents. We go on, we buy a home, we get married, and as it says in Genesis 2, we leave our parents. That's a big challenge for somebody that's, you know, fresh out of college, getting married. Let's go to number four point in my life, which I don't know many of you people may have run through this, but how about put your spouse through college? Pay a mortgage, rent an apartment for your spouse, pay the tuition on one income. Well, there's a leap of faith, huh? God's going to provide for me. That's what I kept saying. He did it before, multiple times. I've seen it. I fell back on my Sunday school years of faith and how my Sunday school teacher said, it's going to happen. God will make it happen if you want it to. You pray with him, and it'll happen. So, was I able to pay the bills? Yep, I'm here. My wife has got an education, and she enjoys her life. So that's my reward, seeing my wife's career and her happiness. And my final point from my testimony is I sold the first house, moved 150 miles away, to a community I knew nothing of. That'd be you. Okay. Was the Holy Spirit there? Yeah. The fear, again, was the unknown. You see a theme through faith? There's always fear, scared. We sang it in songs. I heard it in Andrew's message to the children. My reward is this community and this church. I'm more outgoing today than I was 20 years ago. That's when I moved here, 20 years ago. It's hard to believe. And every time, though, the Holy Spirit was right there holding me up. Could I do it on my own? I doubt it. We get those weak times in our lives. We have to reach out to the Holy Spirit and pray that it's going to happen. The scriptures we just read, and I'm just going to go through them real quick, and I might read a little bit of them again. Think about the faith involved with each one, and more importantly, the action that was taken. Before I do that, I got one more slide I want to show you. Okay. And this is a quote from Margaret Shepherd. Okay. And it says up there, sometimes, man, well, that's hard for me to read. Sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith. Where is he leaping from? A small, comfortable bowl into a very large, unknown bowl. Is it? Look at that. Is that fish comfortable in the air? Are you comfortable when you start something new? I'm never comfortable when I try something new. I'm always nervous. I'm nervous right now. This is new because I'm talking to you. So think about this. That big bowl is unknown and bigger opportunities. The testimony I just gave was unknown, but led to bigger opportunities. In that statement, the word transportation is there. I'm an auto guy. I know all about transportation. But that transportation is not a car. What is the transportation for that fish? Good flight, right? Fish don't fly. But do we have a transportation? Yeah. It's our faith in the Holy Spirit that's going to get us through. So I'm going to read through a little bit of the scripture here and kind of relate a little bit. Okay? So, one verse that Jim nor you got to read, and I want to read that first before I hit the main scripture. It sums up the entire chapter. And it was verse 1, which we skipped. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That image and the image of going up that staircase, and there's no step at the end, is the unknown. Verse 4, which read, by faith Abel brought God to a better place. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speaks even though he's dead. What's this mean? Abel's faith was how he made his offering was pleasing to God because it came from God. Cain's offering was not God's plan. It was his plan. It didn't work, did it? It led to a conflict. And a conflict led to our first murder. And yet God allowed that to happen, and by grace carried Cain through the rest of his life. He marked him, but yet he didn't allow people to abuse him. Verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, from this life, so that he did not experience death. That's a miracle in itself. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one of God who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch. 300 years Enoch followed and believed in God. So he was spared the pain of death and was taken to God without dying. Again, that's a miracle of faith. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that is in keeping with faith. Think about it. As a child, I remember this story real well in Sunday school. Noah made an ark, and all his friends jeered him like, what are you doing that for? You think that was hard for him to do? Yeah. Everybody's coming down on him. It's like, you're crazy. You're nuts. Well, what happened? Yeah. He made the ark. The flood came. Because he believed in what God told him. He was being faithful. Verses 8 through 19, which was a long run, but it's Abraham's story. By faith, Abraham was called to go out to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land like a stranger. I did the same thing. In a foreign country, he lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past the childbearing age, was able to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. She believed in God's command. And so from this one man, and he was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands. And what's it mean? He is the father of Israel through faith. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country and a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared the city for them. By faith, Abraham and God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. This story comes back later, doesn't it, in the New Testament? He who has embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him this through Isaac, that your offspring will be reckoned. How would that happen if he sacrificed him? Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Some of you know that I wrote the name Genesis on the side of my race car. It's my favorite book, and right there is why. So, a little bit of the background of what I wrote down about those verses. Abraham's faith in many different situations, from moving to the promised land. I moved. You may have moved. God's guidance to believing that Sarah was going to be able to bear children. It's amazing. I had an aunt that her and her husband were trying to have a child and didn't have a child, and it was like, ain't going to happen. We'll adopt. Yeah, next best thing. They adopted. 2 years later, she conceived. Miracle? Yeah, every birth is a miracle. And finish off about Abraham, being prepared to sacrifice his only son through faith. Abraham's faith never faltered, and God rewarded him with a nation. Yeah, a nation of followers that would follow God through his words. Verses 20 to 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau, in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as they leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was near end, spoke about the exodus of Israel from Egypt, and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. What can I say about that? God would lead them in safety to a new land? The unknown, right? Again, having faith. Do you see action in it? Yeah. They did something that God told them to do. Verses 23 to 29. Okay. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Why were they not afraid? They had faith that putting him adrift, he would still be there. By faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for his sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing, stronger man than me, the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The Egyptians didn't have faith in God, did they? So, to recap, the story of Moses started with his mother. She had faith to put him adrift in a basket on the Nile. How many mothers are in here? Think about it. Could you take your child and set him adrift over on the Susquehanna? No way. That's definitely going to be the end of that child. But yeah, she set him adrift. And where did he land? He landed in the Egyptians' hands and was grazed that way, even though we know that Pharaoh's daughter brought Moses back to be weaned fully from the mother, and then she took him for her own. Later, Moses' life turns from the glory of earth to the glory of God. Is there action in what Moses did? Is there a leap of faith there? Certainly. All these scriptures that we've read, and I'll finish off here shortly, give us leaps of faith, and these people that we're reading about here were truly the Hall of Fame of faith in God's work in the Old Testament. Okay? So, verses 30 through 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she was welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. We just went through this for the last 3 weeks with Tom and Joshua. It should be fresh in our minds what was going on there. Think about it.
let's march around this city for 7 days and we're going to conquer it. Yeah, right.
Just marching around?
Yeah. By faith, they did so, and the walls fell. The spies gave the prostitute a message and guidance. And she did as they told her. By faith, she saved her family from destruction. Did she have action? She listened and did, and put the scarf out the window. So, verses 32 to 40 add to the lineage of faith those who listen to God's guidance. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jethro, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. I'm not going to read all that at the end, but I'm going to read the action words. Here's the action words. Conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury in flames, escaped the edge of a sword, weakness was turned to strength, and the powerful in battle routed their enemies. How many people are afraid of doing something new? Everybody's afraid of doing something new, a little bit. But our faith in the Holy Spirit will carry you. That fish is still getting carried. I see him there. So today, who's our guide? But the one Jesus left behind with his disciples, the Holy Spirit, whose arms are always open for us to land in. Should we be fearful? Sure, we're going to be fearful. That's in human nature to be fearful. But if we are given the message from God in our prayers to do something, we should do it and not be fearful. So how are we going to use faith in our lives? Okay. I'm going to go back to a quote that I made earlier. It is where we place our faith that determines our purpose, leads our desires, defines our motives, and encourages our actions. You see, the word action is not the same as the rest on the screen. Where do we place our faith? In God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. What is our purpose? To please God. Where are our desires leading us? To Jesus. What are our motives? To have love and joy in our life. What are our actions? To have God's purpose in all we do. The key word is do. So, what should be our number one action based on our faith? This is my challenge. The answer? The Great Commission. I will read the last two verses of the Great Commission, which is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, here's the challenge that was part of my outline. For us to fear not and to go out and find the lost and the ones that were found and that have strayed away and bring them home to Jesus with the help of our Holy Spirit. As a Racers for Christ chaplain, this is our charge at every event we go to. Not just to pray with people before they make a pass at 250 mile an hour down the track. Not just to go have a church service Sunday morning with them. We go out and scour the pits for those who are lost. And have conversation with them. We don't have to say, oh, you have to come to God. We come and have them speak with us as people and have a normal conversation about life and how God has changed my life and could do the same for them. Do we have people in this community that are similar, that have not heard of God? Maybe have heard of God and felt God let them down and they ran the other way? Sure, I'm sure there's some out there. As a community here that are Christians, we need to go out, find those people, and give them guidance and help to find God. The Holy Spirit is carrying that fish still to the bigger opportunities in that bigger fish bowl, right? Are we the fish? Or are we the fisher? Let us pray. Lord, grant all that have listened today the courage through the Holy Spirit to reach out and find your lost children and bring them to you. In this way, we will, as your faithful children, can grow in your love and purpose. Let us keep the picture of the larger fishbowl in our minds. Amen.